All right. Thank you, Brother Chris, for the good message in song. So thankful for the Lord's grace. And that was a good song that expressed that so very well. Appreciate that. I'm going to ask Brother Jose Mojica to come up at this time, and he'll kind of help us emcee the program as we go forward. Brother Mojica.
Amen. God is good. He's alive. Amen. Amen. I want to introduce Brother Mike Wilps. The first time I met, about Mike was through Manny Rodriguez. He's a missionary to Puerto Rico, and he told me, "Man, you gotta meet this guy. You gotta go over to Paraguay, and meet this Mike Wilps." And I say, "Well, okay, you know, I'm not gonna go to Paraguay. What's down there anyway? They don't even have beaches or anything like that. So why go down there anyways? They don't even have no tourists down there." So I kind of ignore it. But then I went over into the internet, and I met him through Facebook, and I just had him there as a friend, and was listening to or reading some of his material. And one day I saw that he was going to be coming through Florida. And I say, "Man, I gotta meet this guy." And so I sent him a message for him to call me back. And we were out on soul winning a Saturday. And as I was talking to a family, the phone rang. And I look at the phone and I was like, "Should I give him the plan of salvation or answer the phone?" So I decided to give him the plan of salvation. And I kind of ignored Brother Mike again, you know, for the second time. And so he left me a message, and "I'm going to call you back in 10 minutes. So in 10 minutes, I was waiting out there on the street. And as soon as he started talking to me on the phone, I felt the presence of God. I felt the power of God through the phone. And he was probably about 4,000 or 5,000 miles away from where we were, you know, one from each other. And I felt the power of God, and I said, "Man, I gotta have this guy to come over to my church." And so he's here, amen. And you know, God gave me this passage over there in Exodus when Moses had, you know, Moses met with God every time, right? He was up in the mountain. And he heard the voice of God and all that, you know, and it was great. You know, he had to put a veil over his face. But one day Moses says, "God, I want to see you." And, you know, and imagine that, you know, and God say, "Okay, I'm gonna pass by." And Moses was there on the cliff of the rock, and God went through. And as soon as God went through, you know, as soon as he passed, Moses fall on the ground. "Woo! Glory to God! Praise Jesus! Thank you, God!" And he started shouting, "Amen. Glorifying the Lord." And let me tell you what, maybe the angel of the Lord is coming through. Amen? Amen. What's going to be your reaction? Let me tell you a couple of reactions. We went on soul winning, me and Brother Mike, and went to see a guy that was a friend of mine. Brother Mike started preaching to him and giving the gospel. And finally, he decided that he wants to accept Christ. I don't know if his salvation was real, but, you know, he accepted Christ. And as soon as he finished accepting Christ, he said, "What's that? Whoa, what happened?" And we said, "Well, did you ask Christ to save you?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, God saved you." And he couldn't resist the power that was on him. And he said, "I need you guys to leave me alone, please, leave." And he was not rejecting us. He couldn't explain it. He couldn't explain the power that came upon him, you know. And that's God, brother. That's God. When God comes through, you know, if you don't know if you're not expecting God, Moses was expecting God. He knew that the power that's coming, he knew that was God, you know. But the people that don't, they're not expecting God. It's going to happen to them the same way that happened to the Muslim. We were talking to a Muslim, or Brother Mike was talking to him. I didn't dare to talk to the Muslim, but Brother Mike was talking to the Muslim, And that guy would start talking about his religion and all that. And then all of a sudden, Brother Mike tell him, well, let me tell you about my God. And as soon as he started talking about Jesus and glorifying the name of God, you know, that Muslim, his jaw came down to here. And he couldn't say a word. He didn't know. He was like, what happened? What came by? What was that? Amen. I want to introduce you, Brother Mike. Brother Mike, will you come and preach to us? Thank you, Pastor Carter, for allowing us to bring Brother Mike.
I just know that I was lost 20 years ago, and I just know that I believed in God in my head, but I never had Jesus in my heart. And I remember the day I got on my knees crying with tears in my eyes, realizing I was religious but lost. I had a lot of God, I had a lot of religion, but I didn't know Jesus Christ in my heart. And all I know is I was a wicked sinner, lost, going to hell, but Jesus came by and changed my whole life. So everything he just said, I give it all because Jesus saved me. And brother, if there is any power, it comes from Jesus. And I just want to say I'm happy to be here with all my heart. I love Pastor Mickey Carter. He knows that now. I told him about 10 times. But he never met me before. About 15, maybe longer, 15 years ago, I read the book, Things That Are Different Are Not the Same. It changed my life. Now, I believed in the Word of God, but I was the old, you know, if it said Holy Bible, it's God's Word. I never doubted, even when I was lost. I believed the Bible. When it says Holy Bible, I didn't even understand there was different versions. But I knew when it said Holy Bible, it was holy from God, and I believed every word from it. But I didn't know why. I didn't know why we used the King James and this and this. So when I got a hold of this book, I read it 10 times. I read it once. I was like, I got to read it again. Read it again. This is great. I read it again. And the reason why, it wasn't some knowledge that I was learning. It was, I believe that every single word that's in the Bible is the breath of God. And I not only do I believe it, I want to live it, brother. Praise God! Amen. I want to live it. And there's a lot of Christians today that don't live what they believe. And that's why a lot of people don't get saved. All we want to do is criticize and point fingers, and there's three fingers point back to us. But we can't share with them what Jesus did in our lives. We could talk about everything, but it's hard for some to talk about Jesus in a real way. And that's my message, by the way, but I won't get there. I'm missionary to Paraguay, South America for 8 years. I'm sent and ordained a Victory Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. Pastor Tim Fuller is my pastor. His dad is Jim Fuller, Victory Baptist Press. I love him very much. And they sent me out, ordained me. And we've been there 8 years, and I just got back in the States about 3 weeks ago. And I'm excited. Do you know, I've been in Paraguay so long and loving the people so much, living with them, hugging them, loving them, telling them about Jesus. I'm so involved in their life to win souls to Christ that sometimes I'd wake up in the morning and I look in the mirror and I get scared because I forgot that I was white. I would like, who's this guy? I thought I was Hispanic and black. I didn't know what I was. And you know why? Because I wanted to become them, to win them. And I love the Paraguayan people, and I love you too. Now you might say, brother, I'm like, how are you gonna say, that's cliche. You say you love me, you don't even know me. Brother, I remember when I didn't love God, God loved me. When I didn't know God, God loved me. Amen. Do you know why some people, Christians, they say they're saved and they can't love anyone? Because you can't give something you don't have. You know the two greatest commandments is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and thy neighbor as thyself, isn't that true? And you can hang all the law and prophets. Yeah, but what? You can hang all of the law and the prophets, but you know you can't love people in a real way until you love Jesus Christ with all of your heart. Amen. It's impossible. You'll just be selfish and care about you and yourself, but you can't love someone else. I love going to Walmart. I love seeing Mexicans that come in illegal. I love them. Brother, you love me? I love them. Of course I love them. You don't? That's the problem. We want to focus on their illegals and the government and this and this. Okay, maybe you're right. Maybe I don't even know. But they're souls, and they need Jesus. We need to get back to the cross. We lose focus of the cross. We lose focus, and we're so involved in so many things, we forget about the crown. You know why Jesus had a crown of thorns on his head? For your bad thoughts. You know why Jesus had nails in his hands? He could have been roped, or he could have been like this, or something other way. But why was he nailed to the cross like this? Well, first, it was like this to embrace the whole world. He loved sinners. You know why he was pierced in the hands? Because you touched things you shouldn't have touched. Isn't that true? And Jesus had to be touched here. Why was there nails driven in Jesus' feet? Because we walked in places we shouldn't have walked. How many times have we been in places we shouldn't have been in? And Jesus sacrificed. And let me get back to Paraguay. So we've been there 8 years, and we're not working with any other missionary family. We're independent Bible-believing missionaries. And I strapped my daughter. We didn't have a vehicle for a year. And in the video you're going to see two pictures of me walking down the street with my daughter strapped to my back like an Indian. And I was literally walking with my daughter on my back like this, going house to house, pleading with people, with tears in the eyes, talking about Christ and telling them that they're special in God's eyes and they're important to God. So important that God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for their sins. And they start listening, really, what? And then I start talking about how I was saved and how I was lost and how I knew God in my mind, but I didn't know Jesus in my heart. And I start talking about Jesus and what he's done in my life and the forgiveness he's given me. Now I know for a fact that if I die, I go straight to heaven. And they would start, and tears would stream down their face. And we did that for a year, knocking on doors, meeting, loving everyone, hugging people, the dirtiest people that some of you wouldn't give the time of day. I'd go and give them a hug. I love the men that say they're so tough they can't hug another man. Would you hug Jesus if he came in? I'd kiss his feet, boy. I'd lay my head on Jesus' breast. You wouldn't? If he saved your soul from hell, you would. Men are so hard today. Proud. Can't love sinners. Well, I love them. Would you tell them you love them? Yeah. So we'd go to Paraguay and win people to Christ, and then we would start winning them, and then I'd go back to their house and we'd hold Bible studies. And people were getting saved. I was like, man, we got to start a church. So we rented a house and we painted it and put the first independent Bible-believing Baptist church in Villeta, Paraguay. And then that started getting packed out. What are we going to do? So I start writing emails and prayer letters. Pray for us. We need a church building. Thank God for godly pastors who love Jesus and who love souls. They would send us money, and we built a church in record time. That'd get packed out. People are getting saved, excited, with the RVG Spanish Bible, shouting, getting saved. And brother, and I'm not talking about 1, 2, 3, pray after me, and then when you go visit them, they're hiding under the bed. I'm not talking about that, brother. I'm talking about after they get saved, they hug me, picking me up. Thank you for telling me about Jesus. And they would stream down their face crying. No one ever loved me before. Not even my own people would love me. And this white boy came from America, far, to tell us about Jesus and how he saved souls. Christians are forgetting the cross. Many of you forgot the cross. Your speech is politics, which is an important topic, but you forget the cross. Your speech is sports, which I like sports. I played college football on a scholarship, but you forget the cross. Your speech is showing how wicked America is. Well, can I tell you something? Maybe it is wicked, but you forgot about the cross. There's hope in the cross. There's forgiveness in the blood. Brother, glory to God, brother. I remember the joy that I had as a boy when he saved me. The peace that I had, I was happy and glad when I knew that he heard my cry. Some of my friends try to say, when you get a little older, the fire in your soul will grow a little colder. What I got was more than a dose of religion. I became a genuine born-again Christian. And I stand here now and testify. I still get a thrill knowing the Lord saved me. Woo, brother! I'm saved. I'm not crazy. Maybe a little. Brother, I've been saved over 20 years. And when I realize for 1 week I can't get emotional about the cross, I'm not right with God. Maybe you are. I can't. I want to cry every day, just sometimes I can't. Sometimes I get hard and wrapped up in a lot of things. Do you remember the day you got saved? Remember how sweet it was? You went to tell everyone about Jesus. You didn't know anything. You didn't know about religion. You didn't know about no one. You weren't fighting pen. You didn't know anything. You just wanted to talk about the cross. Brother, sister, don't forget the cross. Don't forget the crowns. Don't forget the blood. When you do, you die spiritually. If you're saved, you won't go to hell. But it'll look like you're going there. You know, there's a lot of, really, it's true. It's true. A lot of people believe in God, but they can't talk about him in a real way. Man, brother, do you think anyone cares to know what you know? You think anyone cares about your King James Bible? No one. You think people care about your doctrine? Nothing. Well, wait a minute. People don't care to know what you know until they know you care. We forgot, didn't we? That's true. We got the right doctrine. We got the King James Bible, brother. Praise God. But the world don't care until they see Jesus in your life. Not in your mind. Theology, brother. I know a lot of truth. Can you kneel on a street, in a dirty street with a sinner? Well, I can't do that. No one cares to know what you know. Isn't that true? And I just thank God. God did great things in Paraguay. We're seeing revival. No one wants to go to Paraguay. He's right. There's no beaches. That's why there's no missionaries there. I'm tired a little bit. I remember when I was just, you know, good Christian. I want to be still a good Christian. But I was in church, and I wasn't a pastor, I wasn't a preacher, I wasn't a missionary. And I remember the missionaries come by, and they'd try to get support. And they show a video so perfect and fancy of a tree, of a rock, of some weeds. Isn't that true? Come on, how long have you seen that? And you've seen a missionary, and you're just like, oh, that was good. Missionary can't preach. Can't win souls here in America and thinks he's going to win souls. No! Mission field's not a job, brother. It's a calling. There's a mission field here in Haines City. I told Pastor Mojica, if God changes my direction, I'll stay here and help him start a church for Jesus. I love the Hispanic people. I love you too. Do you know you're so important to God? God counted. Now, if you have, now be honest. If you have children, raise your hand. Okay. Do you love your children? I have 4 children. Have you ever tried to count the very hairs on their head? You say you love them. God did. You're so important to God that God counted every hair on your head. You know why, brother? Because he loves you. You're important. You're that important that he sent his son Jesus to die, to cleanse you. Do you know there's 3 things God can't do? Brethren, God can do anything, right? 3 things he can't do. He can't lie. Men will lie to you. God won't lie. We got his word. You know another thing God can't do? There's not a promise he can't keep. Brother, men, religion, people will break their promise, but God's word and his promises are true and sure. You could believe every word in it. Amen?
Amen.
My favorite can't of God. There's not a sinner God can't save. It doesn't matter the sin you've committed yesterday, the day before, and a week ago. There's not a sin you can commit that Jesus can't forgive. Come to the cross. And we're going to show a video. It's 12 minutes long. It's 8 years of ministry in 12 minutes. I did the best I could, and I pray you open your heart. Now, listen, please. If God speaks to your heart, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. If God speaks to you, that wants you to be part of this great ministry, listen, I promise there will be eternal rewards. And I invite everyone to come to Paraguay to see for yourself. Praise the Lord.
My name is Tim Fuller, pastor of Victory Baptist Church in Milton, Florida, the sending church of Mike and Marcy Wilkes. And he has been such an encouragement and a blessing to me. His passion and his zeal for the Lord and for souls is contagious. The Lord is doing great things through his life in Paraguay. I am honored to know him. I am honored that he's out of our church. I'm honored that our church can have a part in sending him to the mission field. I know of no other couple that I have greater confidence in than Mike and Marcy Wilkes. And I would be honored if you would have a part in their ministry. Thank you.
Is my life more dear to me than what he would have me be? Would I gladly lay aside each dream I hold? Could I count my gain as loss and take up my given cross? Am I willing to be spent for Christ my Lord? Count the cost of one soul lost, without hope and without God, then forever in a lake of flaming fire. What's the worth of this whole world when compared to one lost?
My name is Michael Wilps, and we are missionaries to Paraguay, South America. Paraguay is the size of California with about 6.5 million people. Paraguay is in the heart of South America, landlocked, surrounded by 3 countries, Brazil, Bolivia, and Argentina. Paraguay is about 90% Roman Catholic. There are many cults in Paraguay, such as the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons. The Mormons have more missionaries in Paraguay than any other church. There are evangelical churches in Paraguay, but they don't know the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paraguay is wide open to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, but there are hardly any Bible-believing churches in Paraguay. Preaching in Paraguay is like preaching to Nicodemus of John chapter 3, religious but lost. We are commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Will you go into this wide open country and tell them about Jesus? If you can't go to Paraguay, will you support a soul-winning, Bible-believing missionary that is called by God to preach the gospel to the people of Paraguay?
We arrive in Paraguay in the year 2005, walking everywhere we go, working 8 to 10 hours a day, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, visiting house to house, families getting saved, people getting saved, many men and women come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The people who receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, we would go back to their house and hold Bible studies, teaching them the way, the truth, and the life. When they get pretty serious, we look for a house to rent, we found a house, and we started the first independent Baptist church in Villeta.
Because 2 years ago, I was lost.
46 años.
46 years.
Estuve en tiniebla.
I was in darkness.
Yo era prácticamente alcohólico.
I was an alcoholic.
Y era mi camino era al infierno.
And I was on my way to hell.
That was the greatest decision he ever made in his life, was to receive Christ as a Savior. Now Jesus is his life, and he wants to follow Christ in believers' baptism to be obedient for Christ.
Y le doy gracias a Dios por haber conocido a nuestro pastor Miguel.
And I thank God because I met Pastor Mike.
Gracias a él.
Because through
me salvó
him,
del infierno que estuve yo
I
antes.
I was saved from hell.
Si es que me moría 2 años atrás, me iba a ir al infierno.
If I died 2 years ago, I was going to go to hell.
As many men and women are receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, the church is growing daily. As the church grows, men are really getting serious about the gospel. As God blessed, the church grew. There was no room in the house church anymore. We needed to build a church.
It's not cathedrals, it's not steeples, it's not crosses made of gold. It's not just sentimental stories that have been passed down from old. It's not religion or tradition that can save the souls of men. It took the sinless blood of one holy lamb. It's all about the blood. It's all about Calvary. It's all about mercy flowing. It's all about a sacrifice. God's love is all about the blood of Jesus.
God has called me to win souls to Jesus Christ, teach them the Bible, and train them for the ministry. My main focus is men. If you win men, women and children will follow. We are very blessed to have men in our ministry. The men we have are on fire for God, excited about being saved. We started a Bible Institute teaching men the Bible and training them for the ministry. Here is a little glimpse of our Bible Institute. Teach the men in our Bible Institute to prepare sermons, to win souls to Jesus, to be a public witness preaching on the street, and on public buses. I thank the Lord Jesus that I've had the privilege to ordain three men who I've personally won to Christ and trained for the ministry.
Mi nombre es Alfredo.
My name is Alfredo.
Y gracias a Dios.
Thank God.
Ahora soy salvo.
Now I'm saved.
Mucho tiempo viví perdido.
I lived a long time lost.
Nunca entendí el evangelio puro.
I never understood the pure gospel.
Pero gracias a Dios.
But thank God.
Que Pastor Miguel me enseñó.
That Pastor Mike taught me.
Y ahora recibí a Cristo.
And now I receive Christ.
Y soy salvo.
And I'm saved.
Y soy el hombre más feliz del mundo.
And I'm the happiest man on this world.
Y cuando muera,
and when I die,
voy a estar en el cielo con Jesucristo.
I will be in heaven with Jesus Christ. Amen.
Mi nombre es Daniel Leiva.
My name is Daniel Leiva.
Yo fui perdido por casi 28 años.
I was lost for 28 years.
Me iba directo al infierno.
I was going to hell.
Pero no reconocía dentro de mí que era perdido.
But I did not recognize in my heart that I was lost.
Pero un día,
but one day,
el Pastor Miguel,
Pastor Mike,
predicó sobre un mensaje del infierno.
Preached a message on hell.
Y quiénes se iban al infierno.
And who were going to hell.
Pero que había un Salvador llamado Jesucristo.
But that there was a Savior called Jesus Christ.
Y que derramó su sangre por mí.
And that he shed his blood for me.
Lo creí.
I believed it.
Y fui salvo.
And I was saved.
We used to go to meetings. A preacher preached, we heard amens. We entered God's house without the world on our minds. Concern for souls in sin. How wonderful it seems just to recall those good old-fashioned days. Now you may not agree, and that's fine with me, but I like the old-time way. I love that old-time religion, for it will never change.
Hello, my name is Nelson. I was born and raised in an evangelical church. I lived as a boy, a good religion, but I was lost. And I was 21 years old when a man called Michael Wilps came to my life. And he taught me and showed me what I was, what I needed, and I was going to hell, but Jesus Christ saved me, and I thank God, and I will thank him forever that he sent that man in my way so that I can know God, not only my mind, not only things about God, but know him personally in my heart.
Bible, for it's always the same. The road's still narrow, the way still straight. He must be born again. Christ still lives, he still reigns, and he's coming again. Look around in many churches, and the altar can't be found. A Christian won't kneel with a sinner to pray, and they say they're heaven bound.
Hola, mi nombre es Richard.
Hello, my name is Richard.
Y quiero decirles la forma en que yo fui salvo.
And I want to tell you how I got saved.
Por más de 22 años viví perdido.
For more than 22 years I lived lost.
Teniendo a Dios en mi mente.
I had God in my mind.
Pero nunca conociéndolo en mi corazón.
But I never knew him in my heart.
Pero un día fui invitado.
But one day I was invited.
A la Iglesia Bautista Bíblica Independiente de Villeta.
To go to Bible Independent Baptist Church in Villeta.
Y por primera vez.
And for the first time.
Escuché hablar del Evangelio de Jesucristo.
I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Por primera vez escuché.
For the first time I heard.
Que existía un infierno.
That there was a hell.
Pero que también existía un Salvador.
But there was also a Savior.
Gracias al ministerio del Pastor Miguel.
Because of Pastor Mike's ministry.
Un día yo pude escuchar el Evangelio.
One day I heard the gospel.
Lo creí y lo recibí en mi corazón.
I believed it and received it in my heart.
If we live more like him and pray every day, the Spirit will descend. His word will be heard, God's power will fall, and sinners will repent. I love that old-time religion, for it will never change. I love that.
I'm Jim Fallour, the director of the Victory Baptist Press here in Milton, Florida. The press is a ministry of the Victory Baptist Church where Brother Mike Wilps and I both are members. And one of the things that always concerned me about missionaries was that they wouldn't be soul winners here, but try to convince us they were going to be when they got on a foreign field somewhere. And I was very impressed with Brother Mike Wilps. He was a soul winner here. And then when he went to the country of Paraguay, all the reports came back about how many people were being saved there. They're great Christians, they love the Lord, they've got a passion for souls, and I'd highly recommend any person or any church who wants to have a part in winning people to Jesus Christ and establishing New Testament independent Baptist churches in the country of Paraguay to pray and support the Wilps family. Thank you, and may God bless you.
He told us before all this that he wants to go out and tell others about Jesus Christ so they can be saved also. I just want to exhort you to thank you for all your prayers and support. This is some of the reasons, the reason why we're here in Paraguay, that souls become the Christ and that they would go out and preach the gospel also. I just encourage you, those Christians who are not witnessing and testifying for Jesus Christ, to please, I beg you, preach the gospel and give your heart to Christ. See you soon.
Wow. There's so many things I want to say, but I'm only here just for tonight. There's so many things I want to say. I give God all the honor and glory for what he's doing. And I just want to say what I believe. I hear a lot of pastors down. There's Christians down in the year 2013. Talk about Laodicea. We are in Laodicea, but you don't have to be Laodicean in your heart. You don't need to be Laodicean in your church. And if we just lift up Christ in our speech, lift up Christ in our message, lift up Christ in our walk, if we love sinners, love people, Christ still saves, brother. Amen. I'm not joking. I'm seeing sinners come to Christ every day. I was, a couple cities over. I was just at a meeting, and there was a brother that was inviting another brother a lost person, to come to church. And so I saw him, and I was with my son, and I grabbed him. I said, "Brother, I love you in Jesus." He was like, "Who, you know, what's this?" I said, "Listen, brother, you're very important to God." He started to melt his face. Because today, no one encourages anyone. Today, there's not a kind word, no one. We all want to bust on each other, cut each other down, show who's more spiritual, who's godlier. Brother, you want to be godly? There's a lot of sinners out there that need Jesus. Amen. Problem is we get so absorbed in things, we forget about the cross. And I started telling him that he's special in God's eyes. And he said, "Man, stop, man, you're freaking me out." I said, "Then be freaked out. Jesus came to save you. He loves you. There's not a sin you can commit that God can't forgive. Christ, Jesus, died on the cross for your sins to give you life. He saved me. I was lost, brother. But now I'm saved. Jesus came and changed my heart. Saved me from hell. Forgave me my sins." Brother, he starts shaking. My son, I said, "Michael," my son right there, he's 14 years old. I said, "Mike, come here quick." The guy was like, "What's going on?" I said, "Let's sing, brother. Mike, come on, real quick. Let me show you the song I sang, just from the heart." It was outside in the street. There's no show. We're not trying to show it. It was just from the heart. I said, "Mike, quick." And remember, the lost guy's going like this. What is going on? This guy's telling me he loves me. He's giving me a hug. He's telling me I'm important. He's telling me I'm special to God. So special that Jesus Christ died for him because he loves him. Jesus wants to walk with you, I said. Jesus wants to come and know you. He wants to come in your heart and take you to heaven. He said, "No." He said, you know what he said? This is what he said. "There's Christians. I was raised. I'm lost." He said, I'm not Christian, but... He said, "There's churches in every corner. Never one time," and I met a lot of Christians, and they preached to me and told me everything, but they never told me that I was important. They never hugged me, never told me, and they never talked about Jesus in a personal way. It was always like theology. Well, the Bible says it's by grace, it's not by faith, or it's not by works, it's by faith and grace. Brother, no one cares to know until they see that it's real in your heart. I want to hear, your life is a Bible. Let's hear how Jesus saved you. Let's stop talking about theology. Because a lot of times the truth is on paper, but the truth that's on paper is not in your heart. So I called Michael over and I said, "Mike, come here." My son was like, "What?" I said, "Listen, let's sing to this guy." And this is what we sang. We sang, I don't know if I can sing, it's a joyful noise. "Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out that he would bring me out and show me the way. For a long time I've traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, in sin I sank low. There I met a man named Jesus who brought me out this hour. I'm so glad that I found out that he would bring me out by his saving power. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out that he would bring me out and show me the way. Now, thanks. Now, what I said, before we got singing the song, brother, in front of my son, and I thank God that my son can witness this. The guy dropped to his knees. I need Jesus. I'm lost. I'm a slave to sin. No one's ever shown me love. I need help. Tell me about Jesus. No one cares to know what you know. You and your Bible going out there, you need to get saved. Jesus saved. You're right. They do need to get saved. But there's zero passion, zero love, zero testimony that you're saved. I like to preach a message today, 20 minutes or less. Talk about the secret disciple. And I'm afraid to see what I'm seeing in America today. In our independent. They forgot the cross. Do you know in our church in Paraguay, I've been in Paraguay so long, Pastor. Maybe it's I've been down there so long, I forget. I don't know what's going on around here. I'm just thinking about Jesus, breathing Jesus, talking about Jesus, singing about Jesus. And our church is growing. 100, 200, 300. Expanded souls, crying, excited about Jesus. About Jesus. About being saved. I mean, just being excited about being saved. You love football, you get it, you shout. Your favorite team, goal, score, soccer, goal. What, you get angry at politics, you get angry and spit comes out of your mouth because you're showing emotion. Okay, that's fine. But where's the emotion for Christ? Amen. Brother, where's your heart? You forgot the cross. Right. You forgot the blood. Right. You forgot there's hope. There's hope in Christ. But not just saying there's hope in Christ, you need it. Everybody's like, maybe there is hope in Christ, but not your Christ. Brother, some lost people don't read the Bible. The only Bible a lost person will read is your life. The love you show, I'm telling you. And listen, I'm not charismatic. I'm an independent Bible-believing Christian born again by the Spirit of God. And I love people. And it's not gay to give a man a hug. You give your son a hug? Amen. If you don't give your son the hug, that's why he's not in church today. You better love your son or he'll find love in the street. Yeah. My boy's 14 years old. I give him a kiss right on his cheek. I love that. He's my son. I say, I love you, son. You say, yeah, but that's not my son. And I don't want to touch another man. Brother, we're all brothers in Christ. You can't give a hug to your brother in Christ and say, I love you, brother. Appreciate you. Like a man. Appreciate you, brother. Love you, brother. In Paraguay, we have 50 men on fire for God. As soon as there's a new person. Brother, how you doing? Sir, what's your name? He give me a hug. This new person, before he even sits down, was hugged by 30 men. He's thinking, he's already crying. He didn't hear the message. See, you think that's crazy. No. What do you think Jesus did? He cried. I don't have to cry, brother. I'm a man, macho man. Brother, I play college football. I'm probably a lot more macho than some of you guys. I'm 240 pounds. And I can cry for Jesus. Amen. Isaiah cried. Was he a sissy? Jesus wept. But you're too hard, I know. You can't love black people. You don't love a Mexican. You can't even speak English. Why'd they come here? You should speak English. Well, maybe they should speak English. Maybe you should learn Spanish. Tell them about Jesus. Woo-hoo! Well, bless God, if they come to this country, they better speak English. Amen. Who does that help? Who does that influence? Maybe you're right, but you're missing the point. It's about souls. It's about people. Do any of you have loved ones that aren't saved? Maybe they just see you that you're too cold. They know you have truth, but they're waiting to see the love of Christ in your life. You want people to love Jesus? Do you want people to love Jesus? Well, how are they going to love Jesus if they don't see the love of God in your heart? Look with me in John chapter 19. I like to talk about a secret disciple. A secret disciple. God, I don't want to be a secret disciple. And forgive me for the times that I am. I don't want to be a secret disciple. Do you know Jesus didn't do anything in secret? He loved you openly, died for you openly, he served for you. He washed people's feet openly. I remember one time, I was starting a church, it was about 4 or 5 years, and I noticed the men in our church were getting kind of cold. And they weren't loving anyone. And it was bothering me. I was worried about it. I cared. I care about the spiritual condition of all my members. I love them. I love them very much. And I start recognizing that
Our people in our church were saved. They were living for God. They left sin in the world, but they were just cold, mechanical, going through the motions, doing right, but not with a perfect heart. And they couldn't serve each other. And I was preaching, we need to love people. We need to serve people. And I just noticed no one cared about any another. And I was so broken one day, and I started crying. I said, God, what's going on? I came here. I don't want just numbers. I want souls for Christ. I want to win Paraguay for Christ. But with this coldness, we're not winning anyone. So I said, what do I do? I called all the men, about 40, 50 men, Paraguayans with flip-flops, dirt on the feet, people that work in the cornfield and in the fields all day long. I didn't care. I said, come to the front. All the men come to the front, and all the front pews are in front. I said, get me a bucket. And I got a rag. And I walked down to about 40 men, and I got on my knees, and I washed the feet of every single one of those men. Why tears were streaming down my face. Some of them said, no, preacher! I said, no, I love you. If I want you to love someone and serve people, how I have to show you. And I wasn't doing it to be spirit. I wasn't trying to be anything. I'm in Paraguay. Who am I trying to impress? I wanted to be the example. I wanted to show them that I love them. That, listen. I have a degree in horticulture. Went to college, not Bible college. I went to college, secular college. Played football in Pennsylvania. I had a good job. I was making about $80,000 a year when I was 21. I left it all, sold my home. Pastor Tim Fuller bought my house. I had a house being built on the water in Milton, Florida, on the Blackwater Bay. Before I left, I had a house. I sold it to my pastor. For most, not just, it was being built on the house. What am I trying to say? I'm going to prove my point. White, supposedly I have education, whatever that means. Brother? No, you say, what's that mean? What's that prove? I'm going to show you. You have to lose yourself. You have to stop thinking you're someone big and important. Jesus is important. Souls is important. But you come to church, and what happens is you feel so dig. I'm not that much of a sinner, and you can't love someone. You can't go to someone and lose your dignity and say, brother, I love you in Christ. Pride and hardness. And what happens? The numbers go down. No more fire. Because we forgot it's about the cross. Now look at this, in John chapter 19, verse 38, in John talks about Joseph of Arimathea. And he is mentioned in other parts of the gospel, but for some reason, John mentions something about Joseph in a special way. It says that he was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. Now, other places in the gospel talk about Joseph, but not as a secret disciple. And I just want to mention, I might even just get through my introduction. I might just end it. But I just want to say, in John chapter 19, verse 38, look with me, please. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. Many people today profess to know God. To know that it's by grace, it's not by works, it's not by Mary, it's not by idols, it's only through Jesus Christ. Almost everyone professes that. But they can rarely talk about Jesus in a personal way. Sure, they can use terminologies. Christian, thanks to God. I mean, I hear old Southern boys lost with smoking cigarettes, drinking Budweiser, and they say, oh, if God wills, thanks to God. It's cliche now. And it's good to have a vocabulary for God. I think if you have a foul mouth and you cuss and all that, you should get some old gospel soap and wash your mouth out. It's good to talk wholesome words. So it is good to say those things. But just because you can say thanks to God and amen doesn't mean you're saved. Okay? But they never really talk about Jesus to others, listen, in a real way. And I'm going to explain what that means. In a personal way. They can talk about church, religion, politics, talk about things that are moral, that's not moral, but they can't talk about Jesus Christ in a real and personal way. They can't talk about being saved with joy. You ever notice that? Could that be the problem today? I see many times in the Bible that when a sinner gets saved or when Jesus influences a man in the Bible or a woman in some way, they wanted to talk about Jesus and what great things Jesus has done in their personal life. Look with me in Luke chapter 8, just briefly. Look with me in Luke chapter 8, please.
Luke chapter 8, verses 38. Luke chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. You know, when someone gets saved, they want to be with Jesus. Now look at this. They might be with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, listen, I saved you. Now tell someone else. Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done in the Bible, in history, unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done to him. We have people that can never talk about it. You say, Pastor Mickey Carter, I go to hundreds of churches because I'm a missionary. That's how we do it. And sometimes I'm just excited about Jesus, and I sit next to members, and I meet someone for the first time. I say, brother, how you doing? Great, good to meet you. Listen, you know, I was lost 20 years ago, and Jesus saved me. And I start talking about what Jesus did for me, how he changed my heart. You know what they say? Good for you, brother. Praise the Lord. Good for you, brother. Good. No, and I'm thinking about, wait a minute. We go to church for about Jesus. The reason why we're here is about Jesus, but you can't talk about Jesus? If I talk about politics, you'll sit with me and, yeah, I want to talk about Jesus. How he saved sinners, drunks, religious, but lost. Jesus still saves in his blood, and he saved me. And I don't want to get I don't want to get cold in talking about it. I don't want to just talk about it. I want to tell about it in my life. And I promise you, in this great old church, if I come next to you right now and say, brother, tell me how you got saved, this is what you'll hear. Let's be honest, this is what you hear. When I was a little boy, I got saved. Now I'm in church. Can I tell you something? Little boys and girls can get saved. Yeah. But that's it. And you don't talk about anything. I mean, what happened? Young people, you think that you need a extravagant testimony to talk about Jesus? You think that you have to be a prostitute or a drunk or a drug addict to talk about Jesus? No. No. Can I show you a testimony of an 8-year-old boy? Testimony of an 8-year-old boy. Hey, buddy, what's your name? My name's Ryan, sir. Are you saved? Yes, sir. Are you saved? I'm saved. Are you sure you're saved? I know I'm saved. Tell me about what happened. Well, when I was 8, my daddy was crying. And I came in, he was crying, and I heard him praying for me that I get saved. And I recognized that I am a sinner too. And I got down on my knees, and I said, Daddy, I want to get saved. And then my daddy, this was his testimony, and my daddy said, well, listen, you're a sinner. Even though you're 8, you're a sinner. You lied. You disobeyed. Yes, Daddy, I'm a sinner. I do bad things. Jesus, God, that's against God. Your sin is against God. And the Bible says because of your sin against a holy God, you're separated from God. And when you die, you're going to hell. God, it's not because God's mean. It's God is holy and righteous. God can't let you into heaven because of your sin. But God loves you. And God doesn't want you to go to hell. God wants to walk with you. He wants to clean you. He wants to come in your heart and know you personally. He wants to take you to heaven. So God sent his son Jesus down, and Jesus, the Son of God, the perfect one, gave his life. He died on the cross. He took all of your wickedness, all of your sins, and put it on him, and God killed his son for you. Or should we say, or he said, the dad said, or should I say, God took your place. The wrath of God has to punish sin. So hell and fire and damnation is going to fall on you or on his son Jesus. Jesus is your substitute, your sacrifice. But if you believe in him, you will not perish. You'll have everlasting life. The boy cried and said, I want to believe in Jesus. So he got down and the boy prayed, God, forgive me a sinner. And he got saved. Now listen to this. Later on, the boy got saved. Later on, now he's 20-something. Hey, Ryan, are you saved? I'm saved, yes, sir. Remember the one? Really, how did you get saved? I was 8 years old with my dad. I could tell you about it. Let me tell you about it. I realized I was a sinner. He doesn't talk about a past life. He doesn't go into drugs. He doesn't talk about prostitution. He doesn't need a big story, but listen to the message. He says, listen, I was a lost sinner. I realized I was a liar. I was an enemy of God. I was a wicked sinner. We're all sinners. But Jesus came and died for me. And with all my heart, I asked God for forgiveness and trusted him. Now I'm saved and I know I'm going to heaven. Woo! Praise God, brother! Now, be honest. Some of you can't say that. Now, what did I say? Now, examine what I say. You get the tape. Examine. What did I say? I showed a little bit of testimony of how someone got really saved. Now, if I sit next to you right now and say, brother, tell me your testimony. Some of you get nervous, want to leave.
because you're not sure. Because you listen, brother, how do I know all this? Well, first, it's biblical. I believe in God. The devils also believe in God. Well, I care about God, and I want to serve God. That's a show. Brother, Catholics want to serve God. I know some faithful Catholics. Mormons go to church faithfully, but they're lost. Well, but I sing in the choir. Brother, anyone can sing in the choir. And I'm not knocking that if you do that. I like to sing too. But the point is, we try to convince ourselves we're saved because I know I'm saved because I like this. I like this. And you're trying to convince yourself that I'm saved because I like things. Brother, you better be saved because Jesus came in your heart. If you're truly saved, if you're really born again by the Spirit of God, washed in the blood of Jesus, I don't care how old you are, I don't care what you've done, you can tell others about what happened to you with joy. Let me ask you a question. Would you say that if someone says he's saved, he claims to be saved, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, but he can't talk about how he got saved with joy, and his testimony, he doesn't really like talking about his testimony, do you think he's right with God? No? Okay, next question. Let's say a religious person that comes to the Baptist church and they're religious, they know everything. They know about Jesus, he died on the cross, it's not by works, he's heard it his whole life. But he's never realized he was the sinner going to hell. He never looked at the cross. He knew that he was guilty before God, a holy God, and saw that Jesus Christ shed his blood for him. And with all of his heart, he said, Jesus, save me, I'm lost. Now let's say there's someone in here like that, that they believed in God their whole life. You know everything about Jesus. You can tell me it's not by works. And you're right, it's true. But the truth that you know is not in your heart. And what happens is, do you think this person that's religious but lost, do you think he could talk about how he got saved with joy in a personal way? Can he? I'll say it again. A religious but lost person, a person that's not saved but comes to church all the time, but knows everything about the Bible, but he's not born again, do you think he could talk about how he got saved with all of his heart if he was never saved? So you can't talk about something you don't know about. Okay. Look with me, another verse, Mark chapter 7. Oh, there is no sin you can commit that God can't forgive. Come to the cross. He'll make your heart new, free you from sin, give you joy, save your soul from hell. Amen. That's Jesus. Amen. Isn't that still exciting? Mark chapter 7, verse 35. Even when Jesus said, listen, don't tell anyone that I saved you. Not right now, because if you go tell everyone, multitudes and millions of people, thousands of people will come to me, and I won't be able to fulfill what I came to do. So you can talk about me, but not right now. Because if you start talking about me, everyone's going to want to know how great things I have done unto you. They were like, okay, so you saved me and I'm free and I got this joy. I'm saved. But I can't tell anyone. Jesus said, no, don't tell anyone. Now look, watch what happened. Mark chapter 7, verses 35. And straightway his ears were opened and the string of his tongue was loosed. And he spake plain. And he charged them, Jesus charged them, that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much more, a great deal, they published it. You can't, listen, brethren, listen, I know you. I'm one of you. I'm an American. When you eat a good restaurant, you talk about it. If you watch a good movie, you talk about it. You saw a good football game, you talk about it. If there was something funny, you talk about it. Naturally, human beings talk about what they love. Is that true or no? But you can't talk about Jesus? Don't talk about Jesus theology. I don't even want theology. What theology is there? When a lost man is on his knees crying to Jesus, and Jesus comes in and saves them from hell, gives them a new heart, a new life, and something new happened. I know God. Brother, just talk about that. You don't even have to go to Bible Institute. Wait a minute. You think you need to go to Bible school? And I believe in Bible school. Just hear what I'm trying to say. But do you think you need to go to Bible school to talk about Jesus?
Just talk about how you got saved. Well, I don't know a lot about Bible and doctrine. Okay, you'll learn that a little bit. You'll learn little by little. What do I tell people? Just tell people what happened to you. Just talk about the cross and what it means to you with excitement and joy. And sinners will say, well, I believe in God, but I don't have that. Maybe your family members will say, well, that never happened to me. I'll have to end it here. Look with me, please, in Mark chapter 15. Brother, are you really saved? I mean, are you really saved? I mean, listen, brother. Can you talk about the day that you were lost without God and you trusted Jesus and he came in your heart and saved you and you wanted to tell everyone? You couldn't wait to read the Bible. You loved everyone. You didn't know anything. You loved everyone. I just need Jesus, right? That ever happened to you? Have you stopped doing it? Did you lose focus on it? Are you so wrapped up in so many other things and you just forgot thinking about Jesus and the cross? Brother, you know I still get a tear in my eye when I think about when the day I got saved. Brother, I was lost, weren't you? I stopped asking people down south if you're saved. I don't ask that anymore. I say, brother, when were you lost?
What?
Well, when were you going to hell? Tell me when you knew you were going straight to hell.
And their face quivers and they're nervous.
Exactly. Brother, Jesus Christ didn't come to pay your bills, to make you a social. He came to save your soul. He came to forgive you, to take you to heaven. That's why Jesus died on the cross. And there's not a sin you can commit that he can't forgive. Something happened to Joseph, and I'm going to end with this verse. Something happened with Joseph of Arimathea. John 19. No, don't look there, I'm just saying. In John 19, he says he was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly. But in Mark doesn't talk about him being a secret disciple anymore. Now look with me, in Mark 15, it's interesting, it's great. In Mark chapter 15, let's start in 43. Something happened. Mark 15, 43. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Brother, what happened to Joseph? I believe he was in the Sanhedrin. He was at the court. He was a Pharisee. And he was with them all. And he believed in Jesus, but he was scared that he'd get kicked out. He's scared to be different. He didn't want to rattle anything. Just listen, you know, you believe in God, I believe in Jesus, you know, everything's fine. And that's how he believed, and he was under conviction. And someone comes in and says, Jesus the Christ is on the cross. And I heard him say, God, forgive him. I heard him. They were crucifying him, and Jesus said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And I also heard, and Joseph's listening, what? What I remember now, he was saying that the Son of Man must be lifted up. He was saying that the Son of Man must be crucified, Isaiah. And Joseph is thinking, what's going on in my heart? Something's happening. And as he's hearing about the cross, the cross, the blood. And what happened, brother? And then he's like, what else happened? He's like, what happened? And all the Jews are like, oh, that's good. But Joseph was like, no, what's going on? He said, and there was two thieves. And one of the thieves was like, if you're God, if you're the Christ, save yourself and save us. Listen, he didn't care about Jesus. He just wanted to be saved. If you could do it, get me out of here. But the other thief on the cross never went to church, was never baptized, never completed one commandment, never did anything for God. He's actually dying for his sin. He was a criminal. So think about this. He did nothing good in his whole life. And God knew that he couldn't do anything good. He's dying. So he's hanging on the cross, and he was touched. He was under Holy Ghost conviction. And he said, wait a minute. And he looked at the other thief and said, don't you fear God? We deserve this. He said, that's a picture of repentance. He said, we deserve to die. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he looked at Jesus with all of his heart. He said, Lord, remember me, a sinner. And Jesus said, today, thou will be with me in paradise, today.
And Joseph was hearing that. What? He's saving sinners even to his death? Jesus' whole mind, his whole vision was about souls and about sinners? So I believe Joseph, when he was thinking about the cross, he was thinking about the blood, he was thinking about salvation, he was thinking about being free from sin. He got so excited. He stood up in front of everyone and said, I don't care anymore. I'm not a want to be a secret disciple anymore. I'm going to tell everyone what happened to me. I love Jesus. And they're like, what? 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 He said, I don't care. And he ran and he craved. You know what crave? You ever have a craving? He craved. He desired in his soul Jesus. He went down and said, Pilate, give me his body. I want to see him. He died for me. It's for me. And Pilate's like, this guy's crazy. Take him. And they gave Joseph the body. Now think about this. Joseph has to put him in the tomb, right? It was the tomb of Nicodemus, and that's those who helped him and Joseph. But think about this. Joseph is looking. Joseph saw the thorns. Joseph was staring at the holes in Jesus' hands. You can't be secret anymore thinking about the cross. You can't be a secret disciple thinking about Jesus and his blood. But I got good news for you. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. You can't change. You can't change. If you're not saved, you got to get saved in order to have this joy and power and salvation. But if you are saved, listen to me. If you're truly saved and you know you're saved and you can talk about how you got saved with joy, praise the Lord. You can't change yesterday. But you can change today and tomorrow. And you can end up like Joseph. And you know what? No one can say to you, oh, yeah, this so-and-so, he says he's saved, but he really doesn't show. He doesn't really love people. He doesn't really talk about them. You know what they'll say? This brother, he loves Jesus. He just wants to talk about Jesus. He's not a secret disciple. Listen, brother, sister, if you're truly born again, can you talk about him, about what he did for you with joy and love? Can you remember the old rugged cross? Can you lift him up in your heart and your song and your life? When your family members, can you just tell, love them, hug them, I love you in Jesus. How do you don't love me? Jesus loves you. Amen. Jesus, why did he love you? He died on the cross for you to save you from hell, to give you life eternal. Man, this is, you're talking like you really believe it. Yes, I do. You're talking like it's real in your life. Yes, well, I want it real too. But what if you're here today and you have a lot of, maybe you're new here. Maybe you know all about God. You know all about God. You know some Bible. But there was never a time in your place where you truly knew you were going to hell. You knew that you've sinned against the holy God. And you heard about the cross and the Savior. And with all of your heart, you said, God, forgive me. Jesus, save me. Is there anyone here? And I don't know what